And let's look at Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 23 to start with. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. And let's begin with Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present within me, the one who wills to do good. Notice what Paul is saying there. He wills to do good. He wants to do good. But yet he finds present in him that keeps him from doing good. What happens is people think, I'm a good person. I do good. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. What they don't realize is that there's a law present already in them that's going to keep them from doing good. Maybe not every time, but it's going to crop up more and more as they grow and continue and don't give themselves to the Lord. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Here's Paul still speaking. What he's talking about is he delights with the thing that his spirit keeps telling him concerning the things of God. Yet has this law present in his members that won't let him do them. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And what I find here is there are two kinds of people in the world. Talked about right here in these three verses. There's two kinds of people. There's those who try to do good on their own, thinking that they have the power to do so, and yet in doing so, they unwittingly activate the law of sin and death that is already in their members. We see that right there in verse 21. The other type of person to proactively cooperate with God. You know what proactively means, right? That means you go on the offense and you charge into it. They actively cooperate with God, and in doing so, they switch on or exercise the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let's say it this way. There's two types of people in the world. Those who are lost and without hope and without God, and those who are born again. Those who are born again are the ones that should be proactively cooperating with God. Those who are not born again are lost and without hope. They don't know any different. I worked with a young man that just because he did good and wanted to do good, that he was a good person and that he was set to go to heaven. I looked at him, I shook my head, I said, wrong. Understand? And I really couldn't get him to understand because logic kicked in. You know, Christianity is not logic. I was a very logical person in my early life before I touched bases with God. Faith is not logic. Faith is believing what you can't see, touch, taste, or feel. I can't see God. So how can I logically say that he exists? I can't. He does. Because by faith, I know what he does. Amen? So there's two types of people out there. Those who are lost and without hope. Those are the ones we're supposed to minister to, by the way. All of us. Not just the ones standing in the pulpit. I think if we were all ministering to them, we'd be growing in numbers. Amen? Enough of that. Let me go some other place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God loves me. Okay. I just wanted to set that stage. There's two types of people out there. And the book of Romans talks about them. Actually, I found a third one in there, but we won't go into that right now. What I want to do now is I want to do a quick review of what I've taught in the past, very quick. And I want to continue off in that area, but differently. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, please. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, you ask, why do I need to be made free from the law of sin and death? I don't sin. Well, let me explain it first this way. First, you have to know what a law is. A law is something, and I like this definition. A law is the principles and regulations established by some authority and made applicable to its people, such that the outcome of that law being applied is always the same no matter how many times you apply the law. Make it simple. The law of gravity. No matter how many times you go up on the roof and jump off, you are going to hit the ground. Okay? That's the law of gravity. No matter how many times you do it, unless you do something that counteracts the law of gravity. Base jumpers, for instance, with those suits that they put on and kind of fly. They're counteracting the law of gravity partly because that suit gives them an aerodynamic law that allows lift. But they trade off their height through gravity for speed to create the lift. Eventually, they're going to come down. So the law of gravity is still applying to them, no matter how many times you apply it. And that's what a law is, okay? Second, every single human being, man, woman, and child, since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, is under a curse. And that curse includes the law of sin and death. I don't care who you are, who your parents were, who your grandparents were, how good you think you are, you were born with a sin nature. Does that mean you sin all the time? Absolutely not. But you have a sin nature, and the flesh is going to react to that sin nature at some point in time. Usually more than once. For some people, almost all the time. That sin nature is what Paul was talking about in verse 21 in chapter 7. I find a law in me. Evil is present within me, even though I want to do good. That's that sin nature that man was born with after the fall in the garden of Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. And in my book, the whole first section of the book, 3 or 4 chapters are dedicated to how that applies, how it works, why it happened, and what you can do about it. Amen? That's another message. But the law of sin and death states this. If you sin, you're going to die. Plus what? The same results every time you apply it? So, if this flesh body sins, even once, it's going to die. How many of you in here can go, I've never sinned? I can't. Okay? Enough said, you're going to die. The law lies. You are still under that curse, no matter what, until you find something that will counteract that curse and is more powerful than that curse. That curse, that sin nature was embedded in the DNA of man once Adam and Eve conceived. Realize they sinned before they conceived, right? Therefore, the DNA structure now passes that sin nature on to man. And I'm into genealogy a little bit. If you could trace your ancestors, if there was paperwork, all the way back, you would find that each and every one of us in this room descended from Adam and Eve. Which means we're brothers and sisters. Well, not really means brothers and sisters, but we're related. But we know that we're related through Christ anyways, right? If you sin, you die. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned. Does that leave anybody out? Doesn't leave me out. I've sinned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All is all. Romans 6:23 says, for wages of sin is death. The law of sin and death. If you sin, you die. Amen? Now, there's a second part to 6:23. And that second part reads, but of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. All of sin, all are going to die, but somehow there's eternal life. How can that be? It's pretty simple, really. This body's going to die. This body was originally, this flesh earth suit was originally intended to be eternal. But with sin, it now dies. Your spirit, however, is eternal. It has places to go. You make the choice here on earth. It either goes to that hot, fiery place that was intended strictly for the devil originally, or to heaven with Jesus and the Father. You can't make the choice after you die. You have to make the choice first.
That's right.
It says here in 323 that all have sinned. Therefore, all's going to die. And the second half says in 623 says, but you can have eternal life. Notice it says, but. And notice it says, the gift. What is a gift? Is a gift something that you have to work for? Is a gift something that you just get? How do you get it? You have to what? You have to receive it. The gift of God is eternal life. See, there's people out there in the world that don't understand that there's a gift from God that they can receive that gives them eternal life. We know. That's why we're here. Amen. Romans 8:1, it reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what that means? Let me rephrase in Christ. It means to those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord. Romans 6:23 says the gift is eternal life. How? In Christ Jesus. So in order to get this gift of life, you have to be in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ Jesus, you have to have made Him your Lord. I didn't say make Him your Savior for a reason. Jesus is not your Savior until He becomes your Lord. He must be your Lord first. Then Him being your Lord, which, what does a Lord do? They lord over you, right? They tell you what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, because you let them. Once He is your Lord and begins to tell you what to do, how to do it, where to do it, when to do it, then He becomes your Savior. Because if you don't allow Him to work in your life, He can't be your Savior. It all goes back to the blood. Oh, awesome, awesome lineup this morning, brother. You couldn't have known. Nothing but the blood will get you to heaven. Nothing but the blood will give you eternal life. Nothing but the blood will help you exercise the law of the Spirit of life here on earth now. God, we could have heaven on earth now. He didn't say we had to wait. So you may ask, Pastor Duane, why do I need to be freed from that law of sin and death? I don't do bad things. I'm a good person. It doesn't matter what you are, what you do, what you don't do. You're under that law. And you're under that law until you make Jesus the Lord of your life. And laws show no partiality. Again, laws show no partiality. If you're a human being, you're under that law, you're under that curse, and the same results apply every time. Victory over the law of sin and death is only possible one way. And that's making Jesus the Lord of your life, which opens the door for exercising the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus here on earth. That law, notice it's a law again. In Romans 8:2, it says, It's the law of the Spirit of life. It's also a law. That means that every time it's applied, the same results are going to happen. Here's the difference. That law comes from the Spirit of God. It draws its power, its source, from God Himself. Do you think the law of sin and death draws its power from God? I can tell you where it comes from. Amen? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's what it says in verse 2, right? It has set you free. The measure of our victory over that we get over sin in our lives does come from our works or what we can do. The measure of our victory comes from the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus working in our lives. It comes from us making Jesus our Lord and allowing Him to do His work within us. See, just because you're born again doesn't get it. Things don't just happen because you're born again. In fact, most of the time they get worse before they get better, because you don't know how to activate the power of God yet. But what we need to do is we need to make God, make Jesus the Lord of our life, and allow that Spirit of God to have free reign in our lives. And then just as we have a greater power over gravity that lets us lift our hands, you know, gravity tries to keep them down. Gravity tries to keep me on the floor, but I have a greater power over it. Aerodynamics is a greater power over gravity. Just like that is, this new law, this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is a greater power than the law of sin and death. And it overpowers it or counters it so that we can do right. We're not doing it in our own strength, though. We're doing it in the Spirit of God. In order for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to operate in our spirit, that law must first be activated or switched on. You know, this building has lights, other things that are powered. There's a power source somewhere out there that's feeding this building. But if this building isn't wired properly and connected to the source like Brother Joey does for us, that power would be useless. When I walk into my house and I flip a switch, I expect something to happen. When I call on the Spirit of law of life in Christ Jesus, I expect something to happen. But we have to be properly wired. We have to be properly wired so that we can receive that Spirit and allow it to work. Amen? Because otherwise, if that power is not hooked up right and you flip the switch, you hear this funny noise going on and all of a sudden the wall's on fire. Yeah. Amen? That happens in our lives too. The same thing. It's called a short circuit. The devil keeps coming and trying to short circuit us. And if you let him, he will. To know that when I walk over and I flip that switch, whatever that switch is connected to is going to work the way I expect it to. When I walk into my office and I call on the Spirit of God to do something for me, I expect it to work the way it's supposed to. You know, I've been working on the church van all week, changing the heater core that was leaking. And I started at 11 in the morning, and at 3 in the afternoon, I was further behind than when I started because nothing was going right. This is such a hard place to work at in it. I mean, I got all skinned up and stuff. And I got mad. I went in the house. I walked into my den, and I sat down in my chair, and I said, Holy Ghost, why are you not helping me? Ready to listen now? I'm serious. I'm telling you what happened. I said, okay, let's flip the switch. He told me, showed me something. I walked out, did a couple things, and guess what? Put it right together. Yeah, that was the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus activated when I flipped the switch and called on the Holy Ghost. Been there every time I've needed help. Sometimes we forget to ask. Or He's speaking and we're not hearing. Amen. Now let's go on to verse 3 here. Please. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. God judged the embedded sin that was embedded in man at the fall of Adam and Eve in us through Christ. Christ took on all of our sin. God judged it. That's why he had to walk on the earth in bodily form as a man. He had to be just like us. That verse says what? By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He had to be a man or a woman just like we are before God could send him to the cross and judge that sin. But that sin was judged in the flesh on Jesus. Jesus paid the price. That means that sin has been wiped out. Why are we still embracing it? Why are we still embracing it? Because our flesh still has that desire that Paul talked about to do the things of the flesh. More in contact with this physical world than we are with God's spiritual world. Before you can operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you got to get that sin out of the way. God sent his son to the cross for us to get that sin out of the way. Now we have to receive him, get that sin out of the way, then we can receive the gift of God. Yeah? The importance of getting a new spirit cannot be overlooked, for it is the spirit that gives life and renews us. I love this verse right here, John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that the news speak to you, they are death. But the words God speaks to you are spirit and they are life. Yeah, I listen to the news. I don't let it bother me. I listen, hear what's going on, and then I speak God's word over it. Amen? Just because they're saying things are going to happen doesn't mean they have to happen to you. My God said he would take care of me using the riches of Christ. I have a worry. I know that all the while I was married to this woman over here, before I was serving God, God still took care of everything in our lives because she was a child of God. I got promotions that I shouldn't have got, that I wasn't qualified for. Amen? Because my wife was serving God, and the only way he could take care of her was through me. He said that to me after I started walking with him. He said, why do you think you got all those things you weren't qualified for? Because your wife was my child. You? I have you. It is spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It's going to die someday. Rot away. But the spirit man that is me is going to live on. When we're born again, we become, according to God's word, a new creation in Christ. Pastor Don's what, on disc 7 now? On one verse? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? I think he's on message 7 now on that. I keep track of how many because we put them in the series. Amen. We are born again. We become, according to God's word, a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. They're gone. Things have become new. Well, what things have become new? My spirit. What things are old as have passed away? The old man, the old sin nature. Up the coffin. Many of us do. That's how he crops back up every once in a while. We've dug up the coffin and took the nails out. You don't want to do that. What's buried is buried. Leave it buried. You know, when I was still working, I had three boxes on my desk. In, out, things for Jesus. Said that. Now, nobody in the office put anything in that box. I did. Once I put it in there, I didn't take it out. I left it. Unless it was already done now, and I could throw it away. Serious, I did this. Because there were things that only he could do for me. It wasn't work-related. Okay, let me get this. He couldn't do my work for me. He could show me how to do it better, but the reason we've become new, the reason God gives us a new spirit is because the Zoe life of God in the person of the law of the Spirit of life comes and lives within us. When that happens, we're new. We're not an old sinner fixed. We're not an old man reconditioned. The Word of God says we are new. If you look it up, he says he takes our sins and casts them as far away as the east from the west. And I've done this before. Take a globe, go across the top, go north. When you cross the top of the North Pole, you're going south. But go this way, go east. When do you go west? You never, ever go west. You think God knew what he was talking about when he said, I'm going to cast them as far away as the east from the west? Hey, that was back when they thought the world was flat. It's not flat, it's round. I made it. Romans 8, verses 9 and 11. I'm going to try to skip ahead here for sake of time. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I just said this body is going to die because of sin. The Word just said it is dead if you're in Christ. See, if you've already received Christ as your Lord, this body's already dead. Well, how am I walking and talking? The Spirit of Christ is living within me, that's why. And he's quickened this body so that I can continue his ministry. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, you got to understand that. Dwells in you. What does that mean? That means that God dwells in me. Not only does the Spirit of God dwell in me, but it's the same Spirit of life that raised Christ from the dead. The same Spirit that touched the body of Jesus in the tomb and made him alive again and raised him from the dead. That same Spirit dwells in each and every one of us. And he will quicken your mortal body. We won't age? No, the body's still going to age. But you're not going to age as fast as the world. What I said? You're not going to age as fast as the world. That's the truth. They don't have the Spirit of life in them. They haven't been quickened within their mortal body by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We have. It says in Colossians chapter 2 that all the fullness of the Godhead. Okay, stop a minute. All the fullness of the Godhead. What is the Godhead? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? It says in Colossians chapter 2 that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ in bodily form. Now, when was that? When he walked the earth, right? What was he doing when he walked the earth? He was setting an example for us and our physical bodies. Yes, sir. Okay, so here, you got to get this. The same Spirit that dwells in Christ dwells in me. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ in bodily form, and that in him we also are made complete, meaning that if we are in Christ, see, in Christ, Romans 6:23, in Christ was eternal life. In Christ, you're born again. In Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you. In the Amplified Bible, it reads this way. You can put up the other one if you want, but I've got the Amplified written out. For in him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Wow, that's a mouthful. So in Christ, when he walked the earth, The entire Godhead dwelt within him, giving a full, complete expression of what God was like. That's what it says. Yep. You, say me, are in him, here we go again, in Christ, in him, same thing, made full and having come to the fullness of life, in Christ you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And not only are you full, but you reach full spiritual stature. And then it goes on to say, kind of an afterthought, and he, Christ, is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. Now, let me ask you something. If I'm filled with the Godhead just like he was, and he was head of all angelic principality and power, what am I? Am I not also head of all angelic principality and power? In him? The devil getting the best of us. Because we don't know this. Just because you hear something doesn't mean you know it. Just because you hear it doesn't mean you understand how to use it. Well, I know about jet airplanes. I was a jet aircraft mechanic. I worked on them in the Air Force. But I can't get in the cockpit of one and take off and fly it because I don't understand how it works. I have to understand how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus works for me in order to use it. Paul realized and recognized that the power of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life was the need of that power. He understood that you needed the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus operating in your life to operate as a victorious Christian. And that's why he wrote what he wrote. Ways we can switch on or exercise that law is seen in verse 13 here of Romans chapter 8. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. I have a choice. I'm a body. I'm a physical person. I lived by the flesh for quite a few years. That means I gave in to the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and the things it wanted to do. I went out to bars and drank and, you know, did all kinds of weird things. But it says if I do that, I'm going to die. Well, I'm going to die anyway, so what does that matter? Well, what he's talking about here is you're going to die spiritually. I don't care. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body and you will live. In other words, if I'm walking according to the law of the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus will lead and guide me so that I don't do the things the flesh wants to do that are harmful for me spiritually. Now, there's things I can do in the flesh that are okay. They're good. Number one is you need to eat. You know, that's a flesh thing. But if you don't eat, you're going to die. If you die, God can't use you. So there are things in the flesh you need to do. By the Spirit, if I let myself be led and guided by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and listen to the small, still voice when he speaks to me, steer me away from the things of the flesh that are harmful to me. Nine. We saw that it said, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. We keep seeing that in you everywhere we look. And I looked up in the Amplified, and in the Amplified, to dwell for this verse meant this: to constantly direct and control you. Not constantly direct and control you, unless you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and you allow him to do what he wants to do. Because he's a gentleman. He'll tell you not to do that. He'll still let you do it. Put my thumb in the table saw back in August because I knew I shouldn't be doing what I was going to do. He told me, don't do that. And I did it anyways. God, his angels jerked my hand back out before it got any worse. And I actually felt that jerk. Did I say no? But I didn't lose anything. I got a little bit of damage. It's fixed. My son. Was it five cutters on that head? Five blades on it? A rotary cutter of a molding machine. This thing spins at 5,000 RPM. It's a huge machine. It's tagged out. It's locked out. It's electrically shut down and locked. And yet when he went to put the brand new sharpened blades on there, it spun up. Years ago, got to him. Bands out of it. Had a lot of damage. Didn't lose anything, did you? Spent a lot of time in rehab, but why did the machine spin up? The devil trying to take out. Didn't get to me, so he went to my son. Sorry, you don't want to mess with my son either. He knows God. When the first Adam sinned, he put all humans, all of mankind, into bondage to sin and the sin nature. I said that once before, I'm going to say it again. I don't care who you are, who you were born to, who your parents were. You were born with an embedded sin nature, and there's nothing you can do about it until you receive Jesus. The world out there doesn't understand this. They think, I'm a goody two-shoes. I don't do anything wrong. I'll be all right. I'll still go to heaven. Wrong answer. Nothing but the blood. Here's chapter 8. Paul presents to us one of the most crucial chapters in the Bible. That's my opinion, but I believe that's what the Holy Ghost has showed me. Paul lays out for us here in this chapter is the key to being an overcomer as a Christian. Without this key that he presents here, understand all the other scriptures isn't going to do you any good. His desire is that all his children become overcomers. In every discourse to the seven churches in the book of Revelations in chapters 2 and 3, constant call to the overcomers. He constantly called within the church to the overcomers. Were they special Christians? Did God set them aside special to be overcomers? Absolutely not. He was talking to his seven churches just like he's talking to his church today that we're supposed to be overcomers. That's supposed to be the norm, is to be overcomers. The problem today, get in trouble for this, the problem today is that what most churches consider normal isn't normal. Again, what's seen as a normal Christian life today really isn't normal. Nor is it an acceptable Christian life according to God. Can I say that again? It's not an acceptable Christian life as God sees it. Instead, most of what we see today, here we go, is really abnormal doctrines of men, seeker-sensitive people, and purpose-driven churches. Now, if that purpose that's driving the church is Jesus and Him crucified, amen, go for it. Amen. But that's not what's happening. That's not what God intended for us. It's His church to be normal, as in the book of Acts. Normal as in what Peter and Paul and were doing every day. When was the last time someone walked by your shadow and got healed? I can't raise my hand. But they did in the book of Acts.
That's right, yes, sir.
What's different? How to exercise the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in their everyday life. We can't come in here on Sunday morning, get taught, get preached to, whatever you want to call it, go home and live like the world the rest of the week and expect those kind of things to happen. Now, I'm not saying that that's what we do, but I'm saying we have to have a day-to-day, hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute, second-by-second relationship with the living God. And you say, well, I can't do that. I have work to do. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. When I was still working, I sat at my desk and did my work and prayed in the Holy Ghost. That's a relationship with the living God. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. The work went faster. The work faster. Easier sometimes. You want to go around struggling with day-to-day issues like the rest of the world? Or do you want God to take those issues out of your life? Out of my life. Amen. Living a victorious life is what the Bible says I'm supposed to be doing.
That's right.
All Christians should be walking, should be a walking, talking, visual testimony of Christ within them. That's what a normal Christian's supposed to be. Someone on the street looks on you, they say, you're different. What's different about you?
Sure.
Robin, what is it with you? I just can't put my fingers on it. And Robin smiles and she says, that's Christ living in me.
Amen.
That's what it's supposed to be like. And some of us experience that once in a while. I've had a couple of people come up to me before and say, just what is it with you? I mean, they were kind of being sarcastic, but they were seeing and feeling the presence of God and they didn't understand it. All the time. It should. Amen. Sorry, I had to use you. It's okay, right? I'll take the words out. A normal Christian church should be and do the same as the early church in the book of Acts did day to day. That's right. We should be going about doing miracles every day. We live a pathetic life. I see, that included me. Because I'm not where I should be either. I try to listen to the Holy Ghost. I try to do when He tells me to things. But so what's the key that lets us live this kind of victorious life? Romans chapter 8, verse 2. You understand how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed you from the law of sin and death. And how you can then receive the gift of God and walk in His power. People that call themselves Christians go to church every Sunday religiously. And that's exactly what they are. Religious people going to church every Sunday. And walking and talking without the power of God in their lives. Out of them. None of them are in this church, thank God. Because we believe differently. We understand. Amen? The key we're looking for is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 is the chapter in the Bible for desperate Christian seekers. Now, it's okay to be a Christian seeker, okay? Not seeker sensitive. For desperate Christian seekers who are truly looking for the key to live a victorious life. If you want it, don't look for it. But if you want it, you got to look for it. And if you want it, you got to receive the gift of God. And His sole purpose, God's sole purpose, is to conform us into the image of His Son while we're still here on earth. Did Jesus walk the earth healing people, praying for people, laying hands on people? Scoff at Him? Did people come to Him to be healed? Both happened. When's the last time someone came to you that you would lay hands on them and heal them? Not that we can heal anybody ourselves, but the power of God through us can. Amen? Without Christ and without the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you are still under the curse of the law, and then therefore under the law of sin and death, no matter how good you are. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Do not make null and void what He already did for you. He hung on that tree, the cross, made of wood from a tree. That's why the analogy is there, that you and I could be the righteousness of God. that you and I could receive the gift of God, that you and I could take that spirit of life in Christ Jesus, breathe it into us, and then live by it. Glorious by it. Rise up in somebody's face when they come against God or Christ and not be worried about being persecuted for it. The thing that irritates me to the hilt right now is seeing all of these lawsuits being brought by atheists and stuff about what Christians are saying. Where are the lawsuits against the atheists by the Christians for telling us we can't say that? It's the same principle, freedom of speech. We just rolling over and letting them get away with what they're doing. Here, I'll get right in their face. Of God. It's just as bad for them to say that to us. What's going on with us? How come? Why are you coming against my freedom of speech? I didn't know you had to listen. Listen. Exercising of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is really nothing more than the walk of the Spirit. God told us to walk by the Spirit. Or, you could say it this way, the maturing and manifesting of both the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit in our lives. Say that again. The manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit is a result of our being born again and then allowing God's Spirit to infuse and indwell our spirit so that the effect is an inward change. Well, it's been such an inward change that it manifests in an outward appearance and change that people can see, feel, hear, and touch. That's when you're walking like Christ walked. Amen. Spirit is a critical phase in Romans chapter 8, verse 13 that we read, by the Spirit, because when God called Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple, which was a type and a recovery of the rebuilding of the church, he told him, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Verse is Zechariah 4, 6. Reads, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Zerubbabel was not going to rebuild that temple in his own strength. It wasn't going to happen. It had to happen by the Spirit of the Lord. Get this. The Lord's word to Christians today, through the Apostle Paul, is this. Walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. Word to us today, through the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, by the Spirit, and shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or you could say it this way, you will not operate under the law of sin and death if you walk by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because you're born again, just because you know about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, doesn't mean that that law of sin and death is totally gone. It's there. If you give it a break, it's going to crop up. Because the devil's going to make sure that it's there. He's going to make sure he takes advantage of any opening you give him. And he's got a big foot. He'll stick it in the door, and you won't be able to close the door until you get that foot out. So you've got to understand what you're doing. You got to understand how to control him. Remember, he's under our feet.
That's right.
Paul is saying that we must operate by the power of God's Spirit, just like God told Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. You must operate by my Spirit. Everything we do in the Christian life and walk is by the Spirit. The indwelling Spirit of life must be our ability, strength, power, and means to be and do all things. It is by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that we kill the lusts and practices of the flesh. Amen? They're still there. We have to act proactively with God and His Spirit to overcome them. And the first and most important benefit that you're going to find when you allow the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to operate in you, is that it brings life. It brings life, not death. Just like you walk into a dark room and you reach over and you flip on the light displaces the darkness. You didn't turn off the darkness. You turned on the light. When you accept the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it displaces the law of sin and death. It gives no room for it to operate. But that room varies. It does this with our walk. You know, however much we yield to this law of the Spirit of life, then the law of sin and death goes down. If we quit yielding to the law of the Spirit of life, the scale goes the other way. Praise God. 23 said, but the gift of God is eternal life. You're not going to experience that gift until you've accepted Jesus as your Lord, number one, and you start operating in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then you'll start to feel and experience that gift of God, that eternal life. Eternal life is not meaning this flesh body is going to live forever. This body's going to die. Going to die. Live forever. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Spirit over here, here's the flesh over here. If you're a math student, let me put it this way. Spirit is on this plane, flesh is on another plane. They don't intersect. They can't. Be in the flesh and hear from God. God is spirit. He's not flesh. He does never intersect. A believer who has received the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has a physical body, get this, you still have a physical body, that is now endowed with resurrection power from on high and is quickened by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You've got to get this. You've got to understand this. This body, mortal body, has been touched by the same Spirit that touched and raised Jesus from the dead. He touched Jesus and raised him from the dead. When he touched my mortal body, he raised me from the dead. Because I already died. I died on the cross. I died on the cross when Jesus died on the cross. That's what the Bible says. If I've accepted him as my Lord, he's dead. But the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead touched me, raised me, just like he raised Christ. In fact, I had the vision, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, how can I be seated at the right hand of the Father if Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father? How big Jesus' lap is? There's no limits. Remember, God is omnipotent. He can be anywhere, everywhere, all at the same time. See, I'm running to the throne room of glory one time in my prayer time, and I saw hundreds of thousands of people ahead of me, all charging for the throne room. And I said, God, how can I come to your throne of glory and you see me alone? Picture changed instantly. All these different throne rooms with people in them. He says, I'm everywhere. I can see you alone. My own audience, private with him. Even though hundreds of thousands of people were trying to get to him, didn't matter. Our mortal body has been raised by the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, where Paul says, but if the same Spirit of him who raised Christ from Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. Paul was trying to tell the church at Rome that if you have Jesus, if he's Lord, and you've received the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in you, then you, your physical body, has been quickened by that Spirit. He'll lead and He'll guide us. Remember back to September 11th, 2001. Remember the prediction of how many people they thought might have been in those buildings or should have been in those buildings but weren't? I truly believe that those that weren't in that building when they should have been were hearing from God. Whether they knew it or not doesn't matter. They went other places first. They went to drop their kids off here first, or they went here first, and they were late getting there. So late that the buildings were already down. We believe that's what happened. See, because God says He'll lead into... You know, I'm driving down the road. If I hear, don't go that way, go this way, even though that's the way I normally go, I go the other way. The times I don't, there's something bad up ahead, an accident or a blocking, or they're one-laning or whatever. If I listen to Him, I don't have delays. He'll lead and He'll guide you in what's best for you. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are who? The sons of God." That includes you, ladies. That's okay. Sons is mankind here. Allow the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to work in our lives, we will start to see many glorious things begin to happen to us. Wondering why they're not happening? Well, are you exercising the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in your life? Are you allowing Him to lead and guide you in all you say and do? You know, we find that kind of hard sometimes because we have this natural life that we have to live. Work calls. I can't get up early on Sunday morning. That's my only day off. Yes, you can. After church and take a nap. What's the difference? You know? I don't care if it's my only day off. Something of God, I'm going to do it first. I'm going to feed my spirit first. I can take a nap anyhow. I'm going to sleep forever in eternity. Who cares? I mean, I can take a nap and just, you know. You know. To be prepared when I deliver a message. I'm in natural, a very logical person. I prepare, I make notes, I make an outline. Sometimes I write out things so I don't forget what the Holy Ghost gave me when I was praying. Because I don't always believe that He'll give me the same thing again on Sunday morning. What's wrong with that statement? You know, I recall when I first started this series, the very first one was totally 100% off the cuff. When I walked from that chair to here, He told me I couldn't use the notes I was planning on using. And did my very first teaching, sermon, preaching, whatever you want to call it, with absolutely no verses written down, absolutely no notes, absolutely no outline. Rely on Him. He will come through. On He says, hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is an inward principle or action of law, because it's a law, which operates with the rigidity and inflexibility of a law. Remember I said, a law is a law, and no matter how many times you apply it, the results are always the same. This law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the same way. No matter how many times you apply it, the results are always the same. God's results. Amen? In other words, every time this law is applied or used, the resulting action or condition will always be the same. It's a completely new kind of principle in a believer's life that takes over when the believer allows it to and allows it to operate. Produce the life of Christ in the believer. That's the sole purpose of this law, is to reproduce in the believer the life of Christ. God made us in His image and His likeness. Two different Hebrew words, people. You were made to look like Him, and the other one meant you were made with the same character and build-up, makeup that He had. This law derives its origin and its power from God Himself. There is nothing greater than it. devil comes to you and says, I'm more powerful than that, I can do it, he's a liar. Sure. I don't want to let him. Of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, not the law of sin and death that once controlled man's nature. It's a new law, totally new. Mosaic law out of the Old Testament. It's a new law. This is God's law today. It's the indwelling, life-giving Spirit of God. And if we will let it work, He will give us the power to regulate, control, and dominate ourselves over the sin nature. The strength to do the things we can't do in our own strength. New power or authority in a Christian's life. And when we operate in union with it, by operating in union with Christ, we will be victorious. This new law in the spirit of life in Christ Jesus supersedes, replaces in power, authority, and effectiveness, or causes to be set aside as void, useless, and obsolete the law of sin and death. Let me say once again. Let me clarify something. The sin and death inherited from the first Adam places all of mankind, I don't care who you are, under the law of sin and death. Nature, and until you do something that will overpower that sin nature, nature is going to operate in you. And the only thing that you can do that will overpower that sin nature is to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Whether you believe it or not doesn't matter. Whether you act on it or not doesn't matter. The law is not going to change. And it's no respecter of persons. In other words, it's not going to apply to me, but it's going to apply to him. No. It's going to apply to us all equally until we have a greater power acting on it. Read Romans 8:2 once more. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. One word in there is very important. One word in that whole verse. It's a three-letter word. It's called has. That has is past tense. That means this is something that's already done. Time you pray and ask God to do something for you that He's already done, you're asking Jesus to get on the cross again. And that's not going to happen. It's past tense. Whoever has received the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is set free from the sin nature, whether they act upon it or not. It's your acting upon it that makes it happen. This spiritual principle of life in the Spirit of Christ Jesus is a new law with greater power and has been brought into play in the new believer's life when they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This new law derives its power directly from God. Amen? The Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can do for those who are in Christ what the law of Moses or the law of sin and death could not do. Could never do. In 100,000 years, could never do. Because both the law of Moses and the law of sin and death were the ministry of death to man. And I didn't say that, Scripture did. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the ministry of life to us. Freedom from the law of sin and death allows a believer to embrace the things of God. And if soon God will lead them and guide them in His plan for you, and He'll step you through it step by step as you become ready for the next step. Every once in a while, the devil's going to knock you down and tell you you're not worthy. It's going to happen. You get back up, dust yourself off, and say, that's not what the Spirit of God says to me. You're a liar. Amen. And I heard of this, just because you know something about something doesn't mean you can do something with it. Kind of a mouthful. I know something about airplanes, but I can't get in the cockpit of a commercial airplane and fly it. Amen. Hallelujah. Last thing. God's word, God's kingdom, God's principles operate on one main principle. It's called seed time and harvest. Nothing just happens. Just because you're born again doesn't mean that all of God's promises are going to fall on you. I can tell you from personal experience, it don't happen that way. What's probably going to happen is, as soon as you get born again, the devil's going to crop his head up and start screaming in your ear. No, nothing just happens. You have to plant a seed. I don't get a garden and a harvest in fall if I don't plant seeds. God's kingdom works the same way. You don't wait until you need something for healing in your body to start sowing the seeds. It's too late. You sow those seeds every day. Seed time and harvest, day and night, summer and winter. It's all according to God's word. I have to feed daily in order to be able to understand what He's telling me. I have to feed daily in order to be able to walk and fight off all of the sickness and disease that this world tries to throw on you. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that sickness and disease don't try and come. No better than that. It tries. The difference is, have you sown the seeds ahead of time so that when those symptoms come, you stop them? By the way, I got rid of my catcher's mitt years ago. I don't own a catcher's mitt. I don't catch anything. What I'm saying? Caught a cold the other day. No. I don't catch anything. The Sims may try. I squash them. Amen. Stand to your feet. It's good. Amen. All the time. Hallelujah.